In the world of Niratova, forgotten gods have made themselves known. A darkness creeps across the land, and a skeleton army has posed to push the mortals away. All that stands between them are the heroes of What the Dice, streaming weekly on all major platforms. You can also follow us at What the Dice Pod on Twitter.
You flocked to see Close Encounters for the special effects. You went to Superman to see a man fly. You went to Star Wars for the droids. You went...
Now what?
What page do you mean?
It's under page one. See?
Oh, dear.
You went to Star Wars for the droids. Time bandits can offer you much, much more.
Welcome to the latest episode of the podcast That Wouldn't Die. I'm your host, Kevin. With me, as always, is Aaron.
What up?
This week, we have a very special guest, my boy Tori. How's it going, brother?
Good, as always.
Now, Tori was off and on my old YouTube show.
That's before I horned in.
Absolutely. Before Aaron, like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, before Aaron invaded and took over. Exactly. So it's frankly,
you looked over and you're like, what are you doing here? What happened to Tori?
That's exactly right. So it's frankly shocking and embarrassing we haven't had you on prior till now. So for that, I apologize.
I think Kevin.
And I rarely get embarrassed. It's fine.
This week on the podcast, we'll be discussing the science fiction classic Time Bandits, starring Sean Connery, John Cleese, Michael Palin, Shelley Duvall, Ian Holm, none of whom are the main characters of this movie, by the way. The main characters are like the 12th build in this, which I
find Sean Connery has top billing for his full 6 minutes.
It's a good six, though. I'm not going to lie.
With an amazing rug, I was like, he never looked so young as Seth.
It is beautiful. It is.
You can't even see his face for the first minute, so that doesn't even count.
Well, it's not really him, as we'll talk about.
My
dreams are shattered.
Shattered. Each week on the podcast That Wouldn't Die, we discuss guilty pleasures and forgotten classics of the horror and sci-fi genres with a comedic twist. Aaron, what are you up to? What's the latest?
Oh my God. I'm just watching TikTok videos about people buying homes in Sicily. And I'm drinking Sal Pellegrino Limonata because it's literally the greatest thing. I want to say it's maybe the greatest thing that Italy has ever brought to us.
Not fascism?
I do appreciate some good Italian fascism, a little Mussolini, but honestly, the San Pellegrino Limonata, if you've never had that, then you are f***ed up. You cannot drink yourself up after you've had this.
Interesting. Actually, I have had it, and it's quite tasty, I would say.
It's quite tasty. For something that's only 16% fruit juice, it is amazingly with a punch.
I've had a homemade version. I'm not sure.
What the f*** is a homemade version? Is that like lemonade that's been left to ferment? Like
yes.
You left it outside in Palm Springs?
That cool, refreshing drink. No, I'll tell you what. Whenever there's like those like carbonated waters with like a hint of a flavor, like your LaCroix or whatever, usually they taste like dog shit. Let's be honest. I'm like, ooh, pamplemousse must be a little hint of grapefruit. Then you taste, you're like, I don't know what flavor that is, but it does not occur in nature.
The LaCroix are garbage pie. Absolutely garbage.
It's god awful. It's a trick.
This is not that. This is clearly a soda. It is full of sugar, but it is delicious.
D to the lish. Sweet Jesus. Apropos of nothing, Tori and I were talking about how yesterday, I believe, I was watching The Goonies with my kids. And which, if you haven't seen it, it starts off as like, you know, young kids going on a pirate adventure. They're like, find a pirate map, blah, blah, blah. And about 30 minutes in, you're introduced to a bizarre character. It takes a twist where like there's a mutant under the stairs for some reason. It's like, as a kid, you just take it for granted. Okay, yes, there's a mutant. You know, I understand. But looking as an adult, it's like, where did this come from? You could have had a pirate adventure without a bizarre mutant under the stairs. Thoughts?
But could you really? It's been so long since I watched it. I threw it on in my class and I had taken down. I forgot how much swearing. In the 80s, it was delightful to have little kids swearing. Nowadays, you wouldn't have it. Are we more Puritan than then?
I mean, it's just trying to teach kids that unless you get, you know, act right, you get locked in the closet with cockroaches or chained up downstairs. Like, you got two choices, or three
natural consequences.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Unnatural.
No, it's funny. Sometimes they have the kids curse because it's meant to be funny. But if you watch this movie, it's just casual cursing, no punchline. Corey Feldman dropping S-bombs just casually. It's like, parents cool with this? I wouldn't be cool with that. Come on,
Bad News Bears, brother, a decade before.
For sure.
Decade before you had Tanner dropping N-bombs. Casual racism in the 70s from a 12-year-old. Yes.
They thought it was even funnier. We are more conservative than the 70s or the 80s now.
Clearly. And that's called progress. Good time. Sweet Jesus. Time Bandits. When was the first time you guys remember having seen this? You guys have any recollection?
When did it come out?
81?
Shit.
I remember seeing it in 79.
What the
f***? He was also a Time Bandit.
I saw it in 1942.
I have a distinct recollection of having seen this in the theater.
Whoa.
Yes. I don't remember. I just remember being in a theater when George Harrison is singing the closing theme. And
I just remember the end.
Yeah. At the end, I was like, I remember that song. But honestly, I think I only remember it from Time Bandits.
Yes. Yes.
But I totally remember that song.
It's a good song.
I don't distinctly remember. Yeah, when HBO, right, home box office, like just the one movie channel. I think it was one of those like, oh, what's this? And boom, like it was the only option of watching a movie. And so, like, I don't think I sought it out. So, you know, cheers to going to the theater to actually view it on purpose.
I don't think I went alone or anything. I wasn't like I was the one. Mom and Dad, I'm going to go see the movies. Yes.
But our mom liked Monty Python. She's the one who turned us on to Monty Python and Benny Hill. Nice. So, I mean, they never went to the movies with us, but that started it. So I'm not sure. I might have seen it in high school or I saw it at the video store. But I totally remember seeing all the other ones. I'm not sure where. I think I've seen most of Terry Gilliam's films.
Well, and it also stuck with me because the main child actor, what's his name?
What's his name?
K Diggity Dog.
There was always a Kevin.
There was always a Kevin. As a child, I wanted a cooler name like Rick. I thought Rick was a cool name.
Yeah, Kevin. I hated my name. I told people my name was really Elizabeth. That was enough.
Did you really?
There you go.
For how long were you telling people your name was Elizabeth?
Just for like a week or two. This is all boarding school hijinks. I thought that was more like a cool name.
I gave myself a nickname in junior high. I think
it was K-Dog?
It's kind of embarrassing. I don't know why I thought this was a good nickname. I think it was eighth grade at Nellie Kaufman Middle School. I said, call me...
Why did you go to Nellie Kaufman?
Because at the time, the reputation for Raymond Cree... It was a gang school, is what they said.
No, it was just teeming with jackasses, that's for sure.
Tori?
Mother's best friend was like the vice principal at the time.
No, Mr. Thielman was the principal of Nellie Kaufman Middle School. That's why it's another reason why I went there.
Because Mr. Castanon was at Raymond Cree.
Oh, shit. Here we go. My parents evidently knew all the educators.
That was the shit. You never knew if the substitute was going to be having dinner at your house the next day.
Huh. Now we're going down this memory lane. My fifth grade teacher was Mr. Sage. So...
Mr. Sage substituted in my kindergarten class, and there was a tortoise that was making a big poop, and I said, he poops like my dad. And Mr. Sage went and called my parents.
To verify?
To verify, to confirm.
So when I got home at dinner, Mother brought it up.
Oh, sweet Jesus. This took a dark turn. Good Lord. Shall we abandon ship and just go right to the highlights?
Sweet Lord. Haven't done my 30-second review.
Oh, shit. Yet. Sorry. Sorry.
We just spent 40 minutes on Mr. Sage.
Aaron. Give us your 30-second synopsis of Time Bandits.
We're dealing with people in the UK. We're dealing with a neglected child who, like the Lion and the Witch in the Wardrobe, shit comes out. The Brits are crazy with their closets. There's always something coming out of the fucking closet, or you go into the closet and it takes you somewhere else. So anyway, small people leap through. He follows along. They're traveling through time, stealing. Because what? They're going to buy a house? They're going to invest in the stock market. Meanwhile, the supreme being keeps chasing him. Because even though he's supreme, he can't just take back whatever the fuck he wants to do. And hijinks ensues. I was very sad when he didn't get to stay with Agamemnon, but as things worked out with Agamemnon, it's probably better you move along. But, you know, the Supreme Being gets their stuff back. David Warner turns to stone. It's all bored. It's the same old bored gods using us as chess pieces. Thea.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah, now, basically the kid comes back and he's an orphan now. Yay!
I wrote that down too. His parents, neglectful though they may be, still put a roof over his head, fed him 3 squares, right? Put clothes on his back. They're blown up at the end of this movie. And he's just like, Mom, Dad! And then the camera just pulls back and that's how it ends. That sounds terrifying.
Oh, he was ready to throw them off, like I said. I mean, we would all want to go live with Sean Connery in one form or another. But he was like, I'm just going to stay here. Right, I mean, on.
Who doesn't want to touch pure evil? I don't blame the parents. I get it.
Don't touch it. Don't touch it. It's evil. And they go out of their way. Even if it's not evil, it's like a smoldering black like thing. I'm not touching that with my bare hand, no matter what it is.
It seems like it might be painful.
Yeah.
It's a sad situation. Okay, now the highlights. What do you guys got? Aaron, why don't you go first? What you got?
David Warner at his rockin' finest. When we first see him, he's way too awkward because he doesn't know what to do with his giant hands with his giant nails. But by the end, he's making wise. He's blowing up people. This may be one of his greatest roles.
Absolutely.
He was fucking amazing. And his sidekicks are amazing.
And the blowing him up, it's don't ever speak to me like that again. The guy's like, demolished. Yeah, that's it. I mean, such good, like, just a good kickstart to the character.
I basically only knew him as like a villain. He was villain in this, villain in Tron. I mean, villain in Waxwork.
He was a good guy in The Omen.
He was a good guy until his head gets removed by a plate of glass.
Was he the glass or he wasn't the guy that got skewered?
No, that was the priest. The priest gets skewered. The photographer in slow-mo gets a plate of glass through his mannequin neck. Yes.
Love The Omen. Love the holiday classic.
I don't know what holiday that would be.
Halloween-y.
Oh, Black Sunday? What do you got, Tori? You had any thoughts or feelings?
I don't know. Like, I didn't really even associate this with the movie, but the image of the giant with a sailboat, like, it just comes... they're in the boat, they're talking, doing like hijinks and whatever, but like then, right, the shaking and a giant with the boat that they're in walking out of the water. Like that was something
That's a favored mind of Terry Gilliam.
Yeah, I mean, just visually, that's one of the images that always stuck. Like, it's funny. It's like, it was like this own little vignette, right? Like,
right.
Crazy.
Absolutely. So it's the boat. Yes.
Yeah.
It's the
boat hat.
It's the boat hat. It's the, they're in the, what is it? The time of legends. Oh,
chicken hat.
There we go. There we go. We're in the time of legends, which, as far as I know, not a real time. But they're in the boat of an ogre and his wife. And then they discover that it's just the hat of a crazy, huge, bloated giant who then stomps on the house of some humanoid aardvarks. I don't know what's happening down there.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. That was, I mean, for, so as a highlight, like, imagery, that would be the thing that stuck with me. But so many good things about this. Like, you know, like, every single section is just a whole little movie in itself.
Oh. Everything really? Has something else. Everything has something else. The ogre and his wife, their relationship is super funny. Then they start stretching the ogre's back, even though he's going to put him in a pot in a few minutes. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous.
Now,
ridiculous.
I didn't do my homework, but... is midget bowling a thing in this, right? Did they, in Napoleon, did they do the, no, they didn't? Okay, I made that.
That was a fever dream.
Yeah.
That was, you no were slipping over to a little Howard Stern.
No, he's at, you're not asking if it occurred in this movie. You're asking if, during this movie?
Yeah, so I can't remember.
No. Okay. It did not occur in.
They were three stooge in it for Napoleon, basically, whacking each other.
Okay, that was it then. Like, I, for me, like, that transition to, like, the lieutenants of the Napoleon, like, bowling them down that table, or I can't remember.
Napoleon had a crazy gold hand.
For no reason. Napoleon had two hands, by the way, in real life. Because I looked it up. I'm like, did he have a crazy one? No. He just, it's from that famous photograph where he has, like, his hand in his, they're like, that's just the way people posed. For
Instead of
paintings
having
back
hands down your pants like nowadays, they just put it in their waistcoat.
Absolutely.
Hand, gotcha.
Hands are hard to draw. I get it. I understand. problem solved, right? Like, done.
Right in your pants. So Napoleon, who they say was short, but evidently he was like probably 5'6" in real life. Like, there was a different measuring system used. Like, what you thought of as inches and feet were different in France at that time. I went on a deep dive about all this stuff. He was average height for people in France at that time. Anyway, in this movie, he's got like a fixation on little things hitting each other. He loves that. So, of course, the time bandits show up. We're all little people. And they do, it's, I guess they're just supposed to sing a song, Me and My Shadow, which thankfully they have the sheet music for. They pass out just because they do this often and put on a show. But of course, because they're cantankerous, they beat each other up while they're doing it. Yes. Hilarious. Good times.
I mean,
Aaron, what do you got? Anything?
I also got, at one point, there's an arm wrestling match, and the guy who wins just rips off the arm of the other and throws it over his shoulder.
Apropos of nothing. Again, he's just arm wrestling some dude. You hear crunching and crackling. Just rips the arm off. It was like over the top. I just watched it over the top a couple weeks ago. Does not happen as often as you'd think. So,
well, especially if you don't turn your hat around, then you can.
You've got, absolutely. That's how you flip the switch.
Overdrive.
This one scene that really stuck with me as a kid is when Kevin is laying in bed and the little people, the time bandits, bust out of his closet. And they're looking for the exit out, and then they push the wall, and then the wall starts moving. That was absolutely, and I remember that as a child, like, as like, you know, is that going to happen in my room as well? I mean, is there a secret passageway? And it will. I learned the hard way. Absolutely. So that imagery stuck with me, and then it kind of pushes open into empty space, and of course. Inertia. They all just fly, jump into the great unknown. Is that how it works? Perhaps.
Yeah. When you see a portal, you jump through it. Like, just like if someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
Absolutely.
Little Kevin had a Polaroid SX70, just like this one, which...
Oh, very cool.
Which is would have been very expensive back then. It just doesn't seem like Ma and Pa are letting little Kevin Bannister run around with that.
Was that his name? Kevin Bannister? Kevin McAllister?
Kevin McAllister, whatever.
Also not his name in this
recycle
movie. I appreciate that he only had like the one cartridge. He's like, I'm just going to take 10 pictures and that's it. And some of them are just random shots. Like he's like taking pictures of like randos walking in the background. You only have 10 pictures, bro. Save them.
That's why I kept thinking I was counting. I was like, you know, there's only 10 in there. And he seems to be snapping at every jackass there is.
Every jackass strolling by.
Save it
very
for
upsetting.
Napoleon, Jesus, Agamemnon.
Can you, for Jesus, yes, we missed that chapter. Can you name all of the names of the Time Bandits?
There's Bob, and then there's there Stutter,
1 o'clock,
and Fidget.
2 o'clock.
Okay, Fidget's the first one you said correctly.
Nice. No, there's Stutter, too.
Not Stutter.
That's
did,
it.
Did she stutter?
Strutter, with an R, Strutter.
Strutter, I thought they were saying he stuttered, but he never stuttered when he spoke.
That makes more sense now, doesn't it?
It's like calling a big guy tiny. I don't know.
There's Grumpy. There's
there we go. Yes, Dopey, Doc. There was Randall, who
you
was
know
the
this
leader.
Because you looked it up.
No,
Randall's the star.
Randall is the leader. Then you got Wally, who's the guy who's wearing the big pirate hat at the beginning when he first appears. Then there's Strutter, who's kind of an older guy with a beard and like little glasses, like Doc. Then there was Fidget. You know Fidget. He was the little one.
Right.
You know, relatively speaking. Then there's Vermin, who literally they say will eat everything. And literally there's a moment where he picks up a rat and just eats it.
Whoa.
Which sets a bad precedent.
Waste not, want not.
I clearly. There is Og, O-G. Who was wearing the Viking helmet with just the one thing there. Who else? Is there anybody else? Who did I miss? Randall, Wally, Fidget, Strutter, Og. There's one more. Vermin. So that's all of them. Because there's only seven.
Oh, interesting. Seven. I wonder how they
six.
Came up with
maybe that. I'll learn how to count. There's only six. Because there couldn't be seven. They're afraid of being sued by Disney.
I was going to like, that seems a very that's specific
it.
Number.
And there's Kevin it. Snow White. Like, it's very confusing.
I mean, well, there's no f***ing around. All those dudes were bringing it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Dynamite.
This
Dynamite.
Is all their time to shine.
I mean, and this is what I have to ask this question. Do you think you always have to have like a kid represented in these movies? Can you just do without and just say just the Time Bandits? We don't need Kevin, you know, even though he's Kevin.
Because they always just... need someone who's pure of heart to nag everyone through the entire film.
But like, could it be an adult? Could it, the adult be... the last member of the team, or does it have to be a kid? Or is that
like
annoying?
An,
is
like an angsty 20-year-old girl or something?
Yes.
Could be.
Well, I mean, you probably could find innocence in a different character, but you to infuse that and like build that character, it takes a little time, right? You put in an adolescent, done. Like, yeah, they haven't lived. You know, they're pure.
What if you threw an Old Yeller? Would that work?
Yes. Now we're talking, and then they have to kill him at the end of it because he gets rabies. It takes a dark turn. Because there was a series of movies, and I've probably still today, where it's like, here are adults or an adult, and we're going to pair him with a child for some reason. Like Cop and a Half or Last Action Hero or any of these other movies.
The Princess Bride.
Yeah, but... when the adults are on the adventure in The Princess Bride, it's just the adults. You have Kevin Arnold sitting in his bed being read a story, but he's not really involved with the action. I don't know. Does it, or T2, for example, Terminator 2, whereas like, is it enhanced by having Ed Furlong hanging out with the Terminator the whole time? Or is it just
annoying?
He
was a surly teenager then.
He was. What do you? Yeah, I'm asking. What
I
do you think?
You can just jump to the conclusion you have, like what you imagine yourself at that age, and you're like, I used to be so innocent. I used to be so unjaded, right? Like, I don't think you have to develop that. You just input a character at that youthful age or whatever, and you can have that.
Does a youth audience need it though?
But I think this is more it's a fairy tale.
Yeah.
So you have to have the kid.
You have to have kids because he's in a fairy tale.
When you used to dream.
Remember that, Kevin?
I still have dreams.
Your heart hardened.
Before my dreams became night terrors. Exactly. It's a thing.
I think it's, it speaks to, right, like they had to steal because they want the map, right, so that they could get wealth and that kind of thing.
Which
so
we got to talk this, about that too.
Yeah. So, and it has this undertone where, you know, they're doing it for the wrong reasons and they have, you know, the malicious intent and whatnot, but then Kevin wants to use it for good and it turns out they don't know exactly how it works and it could fall into the hands of evil because they don't know how to harness the power, right? So I think it is like a coming of age. Like you can't have an adult coming of age, right?
Okay.
Unless Kevin learned a lesson.
Kevin wasn't there to learn anything. Kevin was there to...
He was the voice of reason.
He was the voice of reason. He didn't, like, this was not his quest. He was there to give input to these other people.
Balance.
Did anybody have, like, a journey in terms of, like, oh, I've learned a lesson from this?
No. I want to say no. They did go back to save him, or they thought they were saving him.
Right.
They tried.
They felt some responsibility there. But given the chance, if Kevin went back, they would have just kept going on doing what they were doing.
That's true. Now, I guess my question is, does Batman need a Robin?
No. No one needs a Robin. What the fuck? Does Ethel need a Lucy and vice versa? Yes.
Does Ricky need a Fred?
Nobody needs a mentor. That's the mentor mentee. Nobody needs a Robin.
Well, the idea is
Supergirl.
Right.
Bat-Bitch. I don't know.
Color of Money, exactly. Well, I think the idea is what they thought, wrongfully so perhaps, is that kids can't relate to adults on these adventures. Therefore, you are compelled to add a little teenage helper, a child to go along on the adventures, so there's someone for the kids to identify with.
I mean, it appeals to a larger group. But when you see a kid, you assume it's a kid's movie. But, I mean... Hot Pocket? What the what? Is that your ringtone?
Sorry, I didn't mute. My bad. It's rookie move. Rookie move.
No, it's a good one. No, because
I'm going to think about now for the rest of the thing.
Absolutely.
I need the Hot Pocket ringtone.
Hot Pocket. It's a double entendre.
But I wasn't gapping and saying Hot Pocket.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, they're out there to steal. But why? I mean, granted, I understand why people steal things, but presumably, where are they taking their wealth to? What's the purpose of them stealing?
They're supernatural beings.
We are to assume, right?
I mean, they live not on Earth. They are not of the Earth. They are creating things for the supreme being.
Right. Helping him. They're helping him during creation, I guess.
Looking like a truffula tree or something.
Yes, that's correct.
So they got pissed off and stole the map. But yeah, no one knows what they're. Why do they need gold?
Well, when you're denied genitalia, I mean, gold is really the only.
We substitute. Don't know that for a fact.
Oh.
But in the old troll books, there were never any women. Maybe it was just men who prefer the company of other men.
We're not judging. Whatever floats your boat.
We're trolling, yeah.
Richard the Lionhearted. They love to be off on the Crusades.
Oh, here. So everybody was doing their business on the road. Is that what you're saying?
Perhaps. It's like prison. What goes on and during the Crusades stays in the Crusades.
Love the one you're with.
There you go.
Shield yourself.
I think Stephen Still said it best. why did they appear in Kevin's bedroom?
Because there's a portal there.
Yeah. Just there. When they get freaked out, right, the Supreme Human Being is chasing them, they just have to find the closest portal. Like, they don't route. Well, they do route in some, but like, they're like, we got to escape, right? So they just have to jump.
Who was the knight who came the day before? There was a knight on horseback. Yeah,
who jumped over his bed, right.
Who jumped
over his
bed.
Did he have the map?
Who was? We don't even know who that was.
No, could have been anybody. And why was he there? No one knows.
No one knows.
No explanation.
When he turned his head, there was a field where the wall was. How come the wall didn't extend then?
I think the knight name was MacGuffin, right? So, yeah.
Yes, Sir MacGuffin. Well, I also appreciated that they actually had the horse jump over Kevin in the bed, you know, for realism's sake, right? Did the parents sign off on that?
Well, then the dad came in. What's going on up here? I told you to pipe down.
Wouldn't there be like horse shit all over his bedroom? What are you doing in here?
It'd be like a cannonball going off through.
Pretty much. I love it how they wouldn't let him go to bed. At one point, they're like, first night, they're like, you have to go to bed. And then later, he's like, can I go to bed? And he's like, no, not yet. You can't even go in your room until later. You have to stay down here and watch game shows with us for
watch
some time.
Watch us watch game shows with Jim Broadbent, who's apparently
yes!
a movie that British people are in since the dawn of time.
When I see these movies from 40 plus years ago, I'm always amazed that they're like people who are alive today are like full grown adults in these movies. Like, I feel like this should be from like another era or so. You know what I'm saying? Where it should be like, right. You should be long dead in the grave. But Ian Holm was in The Hobbit 3 years ago or something. He's still doing his thing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. 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 You're right.
Yeah. This is a very timely movie.
It's
Ian
very
Holm
timely.
Has been in everything, including, wasn't he the dude in Alien or Aliens?
He was the robot, spoiler alert, in Alien. Who gets his head knocked off.
Yep.
That's how he do.
He do it all.
With his crazy French
accent.
With
a grimace. A crazy and always the same. He's always annoyed. He's always irritated, even as an android, even as Napoleon.
Absolutely.
His eyebrows just fuse together like this.
I do appreciate that everyone speaks English, no matter where they go, with an English accent. Except for Ian Holm. He busted out a French accent. No one else came close. You didn't see Sean Connery going like, I'm going to do a Greek accent.
Right.
Sean Connery just does his thing.
He does his thing. He looks great.
Well, it's like, I always think back to Highlander, where he's supposed to be like a Spaniard or Egyptian or something.
Yeah.
And yet he's still just doing his regular Scottish accent.
Shaving the queen. Yeah.
That's right. And of course, in Highlander, you have Christopher Lambert, who's French. The only person the only Scottish person in the movie playing a different, nationality. And then they bring in a French or a Swiss guy to play the Scottish guy. It makes no sense. Why do we do the things we do?
I mean, and Robin Hood... I think Kevin Costner proved you don't have to have an English accent to pull off a Robin Hood character. So.
No. Well, I think what's important in that character is you have it sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes it's there. Sometimes he forgets what he was doing. We call that pulling a Costner.
Well, okay. And Tom Cruise pulls those whammies as well. He was like, what was he? He was in the Valkyrie where he was playing like a German tank commander. Yeah. Perfect. American accent. Just give me the effort. Give it a try. You know what I'm saying? Throw a little stank on that accent. I mean, you know, but
do
no.
Or not do. Not just don't do it sometimes.
Right. If Kevin Costner's going to play Robin Hood and he's just going to do it with an American accent, you got to hit the bricks, bro. Get somebody else in here. For real. Sean Connery was in that movie as well, by the way. There you go.
Did he have a Scottish accent?
Yes, playing Sir Richard.
I'm Sir Richard the Lionhearted. I'm back from the Crusade.
I'm going to do all my Sean, just for any excuse to do my Sean Connery. Yes, thank you. And John Cleese is in this as Robin Hood. Yeah. And evidently his performance, we'll talk about this in behind the scenes, was meant to be kind of making fun of like a famous British royal.
Like oh, the you know, making public as they go down the line, introducing themselves. Oh, and how are you? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right.
Oh, jolly good, jolly good. Right. No matter what they
Next.
Say.
Yeah, yeah.
That was their thing. That was their thing. So, go ahead. What do you guys got?
And then, Kevin, you need to do your Shelley Duvall impersonation too. So.
Pansy.
Yeah, yeah. Do it.
No, I do not have
it. She was so young in this.
You know you do. Yeah, it's so good.
This is years after The Shining, or not years after, but at least a year
was
or two
it
after.
Really? God, yes. She looks haggard in the Shining.
But before
Kubrick
Popeyes.
Tried to murder her.
It's true. It's sad but true. But she says, "I'm going to try to do a British accent." Catherine Helmand from Who's the Boss? She's like, "I'm going to try to do a British accent a little bit." That's all I asked for.
They have people that can work with you when you're a celebrity. I don't know if you know
a coach.
That.
Yeah. I don't know if they coach. Know that. Yeah.
Did you ever watch Who's the Boss? Do you remember that show?
Come on.
Oh, yeah. I love Tony Danza.
Tony Danza!
Not as much as Elton John loves Tony Danza.
What does that mean?
Hold
you spelled some
closer,
tea?
Closer, Tony Danza.
Oh, sweet Jesus. I stepped right into that one.
Yep.
Good Lord. Tony Danza was the housekeeper of single
Milano.
Mom Judith Light, and Alyssa Milano was Tony Danza's daughter. And Catherine Hellman.
He was the Manny.
He was the Manny. Nice. Absolutely. And I watched this thing where these comedians were like, "You want to know who's the boss? Here it is." It's just Tony Danza going, "Mona, Samantha," that's the whole thing. "Angela," that's the, every episode. That's my Tony Danza. There you go.
Jonathan. All right, that's
it. So go see who's the boss. Stick around. Thank you. That's my Tony Danza.
Thank you.
He was always named Tony because people were like, "He's such an idiot. He won't remember. If we call him by another name, he will not answer."
You talking to me?
That's what they said. So there you go. Good times. Wow. People are talking. People are saying. Some people are saying. I liked how they appeared on the Titanic later in the movie. And lickety split, everybody's in tuxedos, including the six little people. So it's a good thing they just happen to have six little people tuxedos. And I don't have to be a historian, but the moment I see the words Titanic on the side of the ship, I know there's an iceberg coming. I don't know if it's coming today or it's coming tomorrow, but I'm probably going to abandon ship.
I remember when they're all on the chunk of wood. I was like, interesting. It totally reminded me of the old Leo. Poor Leo.
Of Rose taking up the entire door or whatever the hell.
Kicking him out of the way.
She kicked him out of the way. Now, truthfully, he would have froze to death regardless, right? So, I mean, if he's like, whew, at least part of me is out of the water. Now I'm immune to the cold. No, that's not how it works. Right. She should have been frozen solid as well. Just,
also.
You know. Right. It should have just been a couple of corpsicles floating along. I
was talking to someone on the dating app who claimed that this was his favorite movie of all time. And I said, is this a joke? I
Titanic, you mean?
With him. Yes. And then I couldn't believe it. So I just unmatched. Because I was like, you're a ridiculous.
You're a cruel taskmistress. Just drop the hammer.
Because either you're lying or you're an idiot. So one way or another.
It's not good either way. Did you notice?
Like Rose kicking Leo off the iceberg.
Floating him out.
Exactly.
On an old ice floe, just pushing him out there. Did you notice that Shelley Duvall and Michael Palin had tennis rackets?
Yes.
Were they playing a lot of tennis on the Titanic as well?
Oh.
Was that a thing people did? I don't remember Billy Zane playing tennis. That's all I'm saying.
Love me some Billy Zane, too. Not as much as I love Sean Connery, but I do love me some Billy Zane with his long eyelashes.
Oh.
Yes.
Shall we talk about Sean Connery, who magically appears halfway through this movie? Go ahead. What are your thoughts and feelings?
He's looking great. He's a sassy mofo with his long curly wig.
Oh,
he's all tan, looking his best self.
Furry as can be.
Furry as can be.
I mean, living the life, star. Right? I mean, parades, feasts. You gotta love it.
He's Agamemnon. So then, he's 6 minutes in this whole film and is top bill.
Yes. As he should be. Let's be honest.
Kevin's not going to get it.
Poor Kevin. No, he was dynamite in this. There's a 5 minute long battle where he's fighting a Minotaur or something.
Yeah, that was, I like the costume brutal. And special effects of this film were all good. That was disgusting.
Yeah.
Well, literally like a severed old bull's head with like the flop hanging down here. You can see the old rotted jaws. It was nasty.
Hey, now, in ancient Greece, did you typically send the king into battle? Just out of question. I mean, I'm not sure how it worked back then.
I mean,
soldiers, stay back. I got this single-handedly.
Probably not.
What you do?
But all these tales of heroes, you know. The hero is not the page from the back. You know, if you want to be a hero, you got to be out there fighting the battles.
He's like, just another Thursday. Got to kill this Minotaur over here.
Just another Thursday. Absolutely.
Wasn't he f***ing at Troy and all that? So back in the old days.
Yes, he was like a general at Troy. I don't think he was. He would send Achilles in. He wasn't just leading the charge. Right? I'm not a historian.
I think they actually fought too.
They helped out. I'm
like
sure.
Now there's a tent at, with the chess pieces, and they have people moving it on a stick. They're out there f***ing kicking ass. You have to die in battle to receive your glory, and you're not doing that in your tent.
That's Norse mythology. He's not going to Valhalla. Is that what you're talking about?
I know the Could Greeks be. Really don't have any good life after death, so you might as well just hang on. You're going to Hades. You're a sinner or a saint. You're still going to Hades, so you better just f***ing hang on.
It's a sad situation. I mean, I have to go back to the fact that everyone speaks English. Look, in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, they dealt with language issues, okay? In this movie, no problem. Ancient Greek, not necessary.
Which came first? Because I wrote down, is Bill and Ted just a ripoff of this?
The answer is yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the never-ending story and Bill and Ted's adventures combined. This birthed both of them, actually.
Absolutely. No question. I often watch those other movies saying they needed more little people.
Yeah. I tray you. Although
brother, tray you!
Never Ending Story had the best song. Close your eyes.
And look at what you see. That was sung by Lamal, the lead singer of Kaja Goo Goo.
He had the fried out bangs, like just little finger sticks. Like
we had kind of a Tina Turner kind of thing going on there for some reason. Was that style sweeping the nation?
You know why? Because he's too shy.
Hush, hush. Right, exactly.
Sweet Jesus.
Shut your mouth. What else you guys got?
I think we all need to dress up as David Warner's sidekicks. They're just literally in like clear trash bags, and then one dude just has a horn.
Mm.
Yes, an unmotivated horn.
Big yellow unmotivated horn. And they were so funny.
They were Benson. I'm gonna have to turn you into a dog now for a while, Benson.
Yes, master. Yes, master.
Yes, master. They're here, master. They're here. Anyway,
David Warner, when he was like getting all angry and his eyes were red, he looked pretty fucking scary.
I mean, he's terrifying. He's got like a skull on the back of his head with like these little hands, like
he's
skeleton
clearly
hands.
Made a xenomorph, because he's got like all these epaulets that look like shoulders of a xenomorph. He's got like this headpiece.
Yes. He's terrifying.
His fingers were way too long. Like I said, the first time we see him, all he did was walk around like he just left the nail salon and is afraid.
Like Nosferatu.
They were trying. Yeah.
Did you notice that he didn't have long nails on every finger? It was just on like some of the fingers for some reason.
The ones that control the
pool. I did not notice that.
It was very bizarre. Very bizarre. I was also concerned that they're like, we have to go find the most fabulous object in the world, which is at the Fortress of Ultimate Darkness. It didn't seem to give them any pause that they were going to a place called the Fortress of Ultimate Darkness.
They have, it didn't come to pause that they've never heard of such a place. Yeah. And clearly they don't have a lifespan. They've never heard of this. They've never been to such a place.
Right.
And so they have no fear.
Right.
It's really... Right. They just hop into another portal and they've not dealt with any problems so far, except for the Supreme Being showing up and yelling at them.
Chasing them. That's it.
Chasing them. And then they keep losing him. How's he the Supreme Being? How do you lose the Supreme Being? Clearly not the Catholic God, because he's watching you on the pot. He's watching you. Whatever's going on late at night in your room.
Whatever's going on in your room late at night. Absolutely, that's true.
I mean, horses are jumping over my bed. I don't know.
Is that what we're calling it?
That's what it is.
That's a euphemism. Absolutely. Did you notice, maybe I'm crazy, did you notice that, you know, evil, in the credits, David Warner's called Evil Genius, by the way.
I know, I saw that. I was like, great.
He calls these creatures to chase the time bandits. To me, they look like the creature from The Village. Am I crazy? Like the creature
they
in the woods?
They look like The Village, but they also look like some kind of a Salvador Dali or Picasso nightmare with the skull heads and just one hook.
One hook is all you need, by hook or by crook. They were scary.
Looking things. Yeah, this was like a Dali nightmare. It's a surrealist nightmare.
Absolutely.
I think it's a surrealist dream. I have to disagree. it's
a surrealist wet dream, I guess. With God watching.
God can watch you.
Present.
No good.
I don't mind. I prefer an audience anyway.
Bump, bump, bump.
Thank you. I'm here all week. What else you guys got? Any other thoughts and feelings?
I got nothing else. This is a terrific movie. Terry Gilliam is a genius. It's just a fantastic tale. It's probably his most cohesive, linear, this all makes sense story.
Yeah.
You want to put this up against Brazil?
Yes.
The time, I'm not sure what's going on, but I do love Brazil. What about the, is it the Corsican Brothers, Yellowbeard, am I morphing Cheech and Chong films now?
Baron Munchausen. Yes.
I know some people with Munchausen by proxy, but not Baron
Munchausen.
It's a thing.
Yeah. It's a thing. Absolutely.
I think it's from that name.
But, I mean, the ending of, like I said, I want to hit this again. The ending of this movie, it's very bizarre because the Supreme Being shows up. Everything's cool. Oh, you're all forgiven. Give me back the map. Let's just clean up here. Little people, come with me. Oh, Kevin, sorry. You're gonna have to stay here by your damn self later. Which is kind of he's like, what the hell? I was like, smoke's raining down on him, mustard gas. And then it cuts to his parents. Oh, it was just a fire. Cool. Parents, don't touch it. It's evil. They blow up. Credits.
I mean,
it's dark.
It is dark. It's a bummer. If you're Kevin, which I am, he's not like, I get to, like at the end of Neverending Story, Falcor appears, he jumps on the back, he's scaring the bullies, and he went on many other adventures, but that's another story.
Kevin's going on
that doesn't
many
happen in this
adventures
one.
Adventures with British social services.
That's what I'm saying. Oh God, it's like that movie Wilhelmina is basically what happens. Wasn't that with is that what it was called? Film with Judy Dench. Where was the nuns taking the babies away from unwed mothers and then separating? You guys didn't see this movie? It was a true story.
It sounds really like a comedy. I can't wait to see it.
It's 1,000 laughs, let me tell you. Sweet Jesus. Hard pass. Any other thoughts and feelings, or shall we move on to behind the scenes?
I have lots of feelings and thoughts.
Please.
One of them being everyone should see this.
Yeah.
Glad that's it's a thought.
On the map. Yeah, on the radar now.
There's no character arches. Nobody learns anything. Just an adventure tale.
It's a just wild, adventure wild tale. Ride. Mm-hmm.
It is indeed. Shall we with go behind the scenes?
With a Pan's Labyrinth ending.
It absolutely has a pan. Well, and like, did no one go like, this is how we're ending the story? Terry Gilliam at this point was allowed to do whatever he wanted at this one. Now, in Brazil, there was a lot of studio interference. In this one, the only argument he lost was George Harrison going like, hey, I paid for this. You are putting my song in it. That was
it
the only argument.
It fits well at the end. It fits
absolutely.
Well
at the
end.
See why not? Done. All day.
Okay, behind the scenes. You guys ready?
Lay it on me.
I always ask to make sure people are prepared for behind the scenes. Here we go.
All I know is that Terry Gilliam is a huge pain in the ass who's used to working by himself.
Yes.
And all his Monty Python, setting his own schedule, doing whatever the he wants for so long that he always goes over budget. He's fighting with everybody. He doesn't ever want to compromise. So everybody always feels angry after working with him.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and it's because he has a very distinct voice, very distinct vision, but it's usually weird as hell.
Yeah.
Where, so if you're trying to make a commercial movie and make some money on the deal, you're kind of like, this is what we're doing. You sure about that, big guy? So are you going to fight about it, or are you just going to kind of check?
I mean, you don't know who Terry Gilliam is. He did all the animation in for the Monty Python.
He was the one American.
He's the one American dude who just, all he had to do was come up with this filler bit that didn't necessarily have to do with anything.
Well, he is in Holy Grail. He's King Arthur's valet with the coconuts. So he did do that. Yeah. It's just a model. That's him.
He's
Terry
an American
Gilliam.
With the weirdest fucking accent. I don't even
know. He's from California.
But he does not have a California. It's probably like, it's just so flat. Maybe just because he's been living in the UK forever.
That'll do it.
It's the weirdest accent. I would have never guessed California.
It's witness protection.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Ryan Gosling, this has nothing to do with anything. He's from Canada. Okay. He's from Canada. But as a child, he was embarrassed by his Canadian accent. He thought it wasn't manly enough.
From
a young age, he started emulating Marlon Brando's accent.
What? Which is, as a child.
As a child. So if you listen to him now, you can kind of get little glimpses of this bizarre, like Marlon Brando kind of.
Stella!
There's a lot of that. I could have been a contender. Yeah, there's a lot of that good stuff. Okay, here we go. In the original script, King Agamemnon was introduced as the warrior took off his helmet, revealing someone that looks exactly like Sean Connery or an actor of equal but cheaper stature. That's what it said. They were surprised that he wanted to do it in the end. So there you go.
Gross. Had to get,
yeah. No studio wanted to make this movie.
Whoa.
So executive producers George Harrison of the Beatles and Dennis O'Brien mortgaged their office building to raise the $5 million to make it.
Huh. What was the return?
They did well. I don't have all the... This isn't like...
It's not
a magic crystal ball where... Let me see. George Harrison was always a huge fan of Monty Python. And he actually, I think he contributed, helped them find funding for... if not Life of Brian, Holy Grail. One of the two, he helped them like get enough money to finish those films.
I love all those films.
He's a finisher.
He's a finisher. That's what they used to call him. Ruth Gordon was originally cast as Mrs. Ogre, but she was injured before production.
She would have been great too. I love Ruth Gordon.
So they brought in Catherine Helmand. And originally, Catherine Helmand. Go ahead.
And then Catherine Hellman rolled over to Brazil.
To Brazil. She was famous for being on that 70s sitcom Soap at the time, if you remember that show.
Yeah.
And her character, Mrs. Ogre, was supposed to be all ogre-y. But at some point, people's like, you know, it'd be funnier if she was just a normal person. And Terry Gilliam agreed.
Grinding up the foot. I'm making your foot powder.
It was so gross. He had like sores and lesions, all sorts of crazy stuff. Sweet
she
Jesus.
Saw nurturing and tender to her little ogre husband. That's what made him fabulous.
It's true. According to Terry Gilliam, David Rappaport, who played Randall, the leader of the Time Bandits, believed he got his part for his acting ability alone without size being a contributing factor. And therefore, he looked down on the other Time Bandits and seldom socialized with them.
I have to tell you, he was really good.
He was good. He was. Go ahead, brother.
At the leader, you can't, you know, be with the hoi polloi. You got to separate yourself anyway.
Yeah, but he's delusional because they weren't going to hire him for that part if he wasn't also small.
I can read math.
So he's drinking the crazy aid.
Yeah.
Well, and he actually was a lot younger than the other
Some of those dudes
little
are
people.
Way old.
Yeah, well, Vermin was born in 1910. He was the oldest. It's true. Fidget and Wally. All right, but well, they're all R.I.P. now. Fidget and Wally were both born in 1934 and were actually part of like a comedy team. Like they'd worked together many times before. And Fidget... Kenny Baker would a few years before this played R2-D2. Yeah, he was famous for being R2-D2, which we've talked about before. What kind of acting is that? You just shove him in a trash can and say,
"What?
Cool with that? Don't complain." I mean, I don't know what the
shake a little.
He must have. Maybe they gave him a remote control or something. I mean,
why did there need to be a person in there at all? I mean. God bless you, Kenny Baker, because you're R2-D2. But yeah,
it's
that
a
seems
free
like
show.
It should be nowadays. It'd be like remote control
because of the
you
dialogue.
Think, well, how would you like to be the little person jammed into BB-8, where you're just rolling around all day? That would be a bummer. It was sad. There was talk of making a sequel to Time Bandits. But two of the main Time Bandits died just before it, sadly. The guy who played Randall, Dave Rappaport, committed suicide.
Oh, Lord. Because his career didn't take off the way he thought?
I mean, maybe because he thought he was hot shit and things didn't go the way he thought.
Did he know they were bringing him back for Time Bandits?
No, he died. I mean, I don't know. He was in the middle of filming something else. And he committed suicide. The guy who played Wally was in a car accident and got paralyzed from the neck down.
Randall. So he was currently acting and then killed himself.
Yes.
It wasn't like sitting this home is, waiting for the calls to roll in.
He was dead before the 90s. So like by 88, he was dead. And then Wally was paralyzed from the neck down. And they were going to have him be in there and just keep that in mind with his performance. But then he died from complications related to that. So then they're just like, that's it. Yeah. No can
and what's
do.
What's Kevin doing these days?
Nothing.
He's available. let me see.
Use your Kevin power and reach out to him and get him on our show.
Use my Kevin power. Exactly. Sure. That's what I do.
Isn't there a Kevin tournament where all Kevins get together? And
we do. It's bi-monthly.
It's like the Illuminati.
Wait a minute. You're serious?
Yeah.
No, there isn't a tournament where Kevins from all over the world get together. What the hell are you talking about?
All right. I'll bet you. All right. Well, I'll look it up.
Well, I haven't gotten my invitation.
Or maybe it's Steve. Okay. It's either Kevin or Steve. Never mind. I'll figure it out. I didn't make that up. It's something.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. Just like I'm sure about this movie.
Let's see. Sir Ralph Richardson took his role so seriously as the supreme being that he submitted
amazing.
His own red ink edits, complete with the message, God wouldn't say that.
It would be better if he said God
so
doesn't
perfect.
Say that.
What? Well, he is only God when you see him. When it's just his face, it's not his face and it's not his voice. So we're just talking about for the 3 minutes at the end of the movie.
I really enjoyed his character there at the end.
He was good. I was
just
convinced
very
it was
matter of fact, and it was like, eh.
I thought it was Sir John Gielgud, but it wasn't. It's Sir Ralph Richardson.
No. Come on.
Come on.
Sir John Gielgud was an Arthur. Come on. Give
he
me
was. And Arthur II on the rocks. Actually,
and
he wasn't. He died
in Caligula.
It always comes back to Caligula there. let's see. Jonathan Pryce was originally offered the role of
I love
genius.
Jonathan Pryce.
He turned it down because he was busy shooting something else.
No, David
regretted
Wayne
it. But he got to, they cast him for Brazil because he missed that. But they said that Terry Gilliam made his role so uncomfortable. And he said, this is because you skipped out on Time Bandits.
But he was amazing in that. And maybe he was doing a Kubrick because Jonathan Pryce in Brazil, I mean, it's an uncomfortable role.
That's what
and
he said.
It shows. And it shows.
Terry Gilliam was making a joke. He just said anytime it was a particularly uncomfortable moment, he said, this is because you said no to me that time.
That's right.
Womp, womp, womp. Let's see. Craig Warnock, who played Kevin, won the role after a wide search for the right child actor. And he was only cast, and you hear these types of stories all the time, because his younger brother went into audition. He just went with him.
I will tell you, in the 80s, these child actors were always, they always looked fucking the same, and they were all always super irritating. But you know what? Kevin was not. He was
Kevin's
not
are good.
Irritating.
They're good.
They
they're pure.
They all look at that fucking kid from Face Off.
There's nothing wrong with the kid from Face Off. He had no lines.
The kid from Face Off was like every child that was in any 1980s TV show or movie. They all had this Dorothy Hamill pageboy haircut. They all dressed like my buddy, but Kevin did not. Kevin was not irritating. He was not annoying. He was quiet. He was sweet, and he was British.
So natural.
Perfect.
I mean, you're not going to have me disagree with any of those comments about Kevin. No question. Let's see. According to a Monty Python biographer, Robert Hewison, he said that each of the little people in this movie were representative of one of the Monty Python actors. Huh. And I'm gonna
break it down. Break it down.
Fidget, the nice one, is said to represent Sir Michael Palin.
Okay.
Randall, the self-appointed leader, represents John Cleese.
Yeah.
Strutter, the acerbic one, represents Eric Idle. Og, the quiet one, represents Graham Chapman. Wally, the noisy rebel, represents Terry Jones. And Vermin, the nasty, filth-loving one, represents Terry Gilliam. Good stuff.
Unintentionally.
I like that.
That's what they say anyway.
Who's they? People?
Hey, them.
People are saying. People are saying. Shall we go to the ratings? Are you guys ready?
Lay it on me.
Time Bandits currently has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 91%. 91.
Ooh, that's hot.
That's not high enough. Not
Do you know what the audience gave
For
it?
For sure.
100%. 62.
77.
What?
Boom goes the dynamite.
I mean,
all right. What's some jackass say is wrong with this film?
That's hard to say.
They didn't
I thought
understand.
You had your
have a map.
Rex Reed, the dude from Interview Magazine. What's going on here?
What's not to understand, you know?
Let's go to the top critics, shall we? Let's see. Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times. Amazingly well produced. The historic locations are jammed with character and detail. This is the only live action movie I've seen that literally looks like pages out of Heavy Metal magazine.
Because he reads That's Heavy good. Metal magazine?
Only on the toilet with God watching.
Only on the cam.
Let's see. Vincent Canby of the New York Times. He says, a cheerfully irreverent lark, part fairy tale, part science fiction, and part comedy. The critics loved it.
The Trinity. I mean, you got it.
You got it. Absolutely. Let's go to you guys. What is your rating for Time Bandits? Aaron, let's start with you.
I'm going to give it 5 out of 5. Filth loving Terry Gilliam, rat eating sons of bitches. What's not to like? What would you change?
Tori, what do you think?
I give it a 6.9.
Out of.
On the Richter scale? What are you talking about?
Out of 5. I mean, it's so good. And. The reason why it's not a 7 is because it didn't have a sequel. There wasn't more of it. It was just...
The reason it's not a 7 out of 5 and it's only a 6.9 out of 5.
That's right. The only thing wrong with this movie is that I wasn't a key grip or, you know, a best boy or something on it. But
oh, you're the best boy.
Oh.
You're the best boy. Okay, I gave it 3.5 tennis players on the Titanic out of 5. Boom!
What the fuck? Do you even like movies?
Did you even watch this?
Is this one of these things where you fell asleep, you had a night terror, and then you thought you watched the rest of it?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. I enjoy it. A 3.5 is a passing score. That would be fresh. On Rotten Tomatoes. I enjoyed it. I just don't think I enjoyed it as much as you all did. I thought it was... I'm not a huge Terry Gilliam fan in general. No, there's always weirdness that I'm just like, is this funny or is this just peculiar? I don't hate it.
1.5 stars, Kevin. Find it for us.
Find it. Dig it. Just find 13,000 votes, okay?
We know it's there.
Look, do not hate it. I want to reiterate, do not hate it. As a child, I enjoyed it quite a bit. There are scary moments, but overall, I think it's good for the whole family. But it is by no means, I think to me, once you get to 4, this is now like, I want to watch this multiple times. You know what I'm saying? I want to see this every year. I'm watching it at least once. If we're 4 out of 5, now we get to 4.55. Now we're talking, you know, the Pantheon. Look, if you haven't seen it, I would say go see it.
Definitely.
I would say go see it. I'm not saying it's not lousy. It's good.
But just, you can only see it 3.5 times.
Apparently. It's good?
I'm just saying in states that have recreational marijuana, you should search this movie out.
Yes. I agree. Stipulating. No, what I was also going to say, Tori, the last time we were on this show, when we were doing the B Movie Club, the YouTube show, I said, what movie would you like to do? And your answer then, as in this one, was Time Bandits.
Oh, okay.
Both times. So this is like, this is 6.9 out of 5 for you.
I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
It's like 8 movies in one, and you just get, you get it all.
You get it all. You get it all.
Romance.
So, thank you very much. Go to our page on Twitter, Facebook. We're on TikTok. We're on Instagram. You may be watching this on YouTube. We are all of these places. You can email us the podcast that wouldn't die at Gmail. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere the finer podcasts are available. So don't forget to like, share, rate, and review, won't you? Tori, do you have anything you want to share or plug or anything at all?
Oh, I didn't know it was that kind of party. Let me get comfortable.
You don't have to.
I don't have a presence. No.
Well, if you happen to stumble upon Tori, say hi. Slide into his DMs.
If you do.
Truth Social.
If anything, I'm on Discord. Yeah.
Discord. He's on 4chan. Now, all the chans.
You can find me at various various locations at Toriology.
Toriology. Good times. So next week, we're going to do the horror new classic, Megan M3GAN, about like a reimagining of Child's Play, little Chucky doll. So that'll be fun. You haven't seen that yet, have you, Aaron?
Is it Megan or is it like Megan, like our sister? Is it about our sister? Is she a Chucky doll?
Could be. Who's to say? You can watch it on Amazon Prime for free. It's a good time. I actually just bought it on Vudu for
$7.99. What the
f***, Kevin? Which is a bargain at half the price.
Instead of investing in your retirement, is it all just goes right to Joe Bob Briggs or direct-to-video movies?
Yes. To answer your question, yes, that's exactly what occurs. So send me your favorite scenes, favorite quotes, comments, and questions, and we may talk about it on the show. Good times had by all, I hope. I want to take a moment and thank Tori for coming out and joining us. That was a grand time, to say the least. He may come back many times in the future. Who's to
Maybe.
Say? Who's to say? No commitment. We'll see. We'll figure it out.
And I have a little viewer mail.
Oh, hit me.
Agnes Moorhead from Pensacola, Florida wrote in and says, I really like Kevin, but Aaron steals the show every time.
I do like Agnes Moorhead. But Elizabeth Montgomery and Dick York and Dick Sargent all have various opinions on the show. So good times. So thank you very much and be well.
Bye.